through looking like a dope dealer. I ain't stand none of y'all broke, nigga. At the trap spot where we post, nigga. I'ma get a mansion and a boat, nigga. Ferragamo frames and a coat, nigga. For a girlfriend, she's a gold digger. One thing gon' need is no nigga. Bought an AMG Benz cause it go quicker. Fresh in the VIP, lit up.
What's up, guys? Welcome to show number 78. As always, thank you so much for rocking me these first 77 shows. By now, you know where to find me. If you go to SoundCloud, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, search for Trill Withers, the show will come up. Do me a favor, go ahead and subscribe there so that the show will come to you every week. Got the email address set up. That's trillwitherspodcast@gmail.com. I've also got the website. That's lookingupfromthefloor.wordpress.com. All right, first things first, the BQBX, the Black Quarterback X shirts are up. They are currently on sale. I told you that I hadn't forgot about you, and I appreciate all of you checking in on those, and they are on sale. From today, today is May the 18th, they're on sale until June the 7th. So it's a three-week campaign up until June the 7th. The orders will begin shipping a week after that, June the 14th. That shirt should be on your back by June 21st, about a month from today at the latest, I'm guessing. The websites for those, teespring.com/cam-x or teespring.com/russ-x. And don't worry about those. I'll have a link to those on the site, my Twitter page. The cam shirt. Cam shirt is $25.99. It's American Apparel, you know, fabric t-shirt. It's quality. The Russell Wilson shirt is $23.99. Now, let me explain. This is not me being shady. The Russ shirt being a couple dollars cheaper is not me being shady. What happened was I had to go with a different material. They didn't have the right color of navy in the American Apparel fabric for the Russ shirt. So I had to go with a different fabric. And because it was a different price, I didn't feel right charging you the same for it. So it's not, you know, it's not no bullshit brand. It's not going to fall apart in the washer on you. But it is a different material. So I felt it was only fair to charge you a different price. Now, depending on how these do, might have one more on the way. I've got an idea for one. Got to get my man Gary in at GDB on Twitter. He designed these. Shout out to him. So from now until June 7th, show some support for our Black Quarterback X's. Show some support for my man Gary, who did a hell of a job designing these shirts. And show some support to me, your boy. All right, as I mentioned last week, there was a couple week absence where I did not have a show. I apologize for that. And some of you had known, some of you didn't know. There's a lot of shit going on. I'd recently lost my uncle. So that was the reason I was out of state. It was kind of a, like, just drop everything and go. So I didn't have any of the things I need. I didn't know how long I'd be gone. So that's why I didn't have a show for those 2 weeks. Life happens. I apologize. But I did want to say just a couple things about him. If anything that I've ever tweeted, written, you know, or said in this space or any other space has ever made you laugh, you have my Uncle Vince to thank for that. And growing up, like, my uncles were the funniest people in the world to me. Like, I got two on my mom's side, one on my dad's side, and all, like, they were just the funniest people in the world to me. And all I ever wanted to do was make them laugh. And my Uncle Vince was always like, he was like the guy. He was the big dog in the room. He was the one making everybody else laugh. So to get him to laugh was a feat. And that's all I ever really wanted to do growing up, was make him laugh. And like with my family, it's really, it's kind of like the only way you got heard. Like when my family got going on something or somebody, like getting a good joke in was the only way you got heard. So, you know what I'm saying? It might be on you. You know, if you're not dressed right or you ain't got a joke in return, that you might be getting them jokes. So that taught me at a young age, roast or get roasted. But more than jokes, he taught me a lot. He taught me a whole lot. He taught me how to get on people, how to roast people from a place of love. You know, like he'd break you down quick with a smile on his face and then talk with you, tell you exactly what you need to do to get right. He taught me about responsibility. You know, from the time I was, I don't know, 10 or 11, he, you know, with the woman that he married, he had raised two boys that weren't his own, like they were his own. I think I had my first drink off my Uncle Vince. I'd be like 16 or 17 at Thanksgiving, and he would pass me the E&J behind my mom's back so I could get a little nip, a little swig of that. And as I think of it now, like him letting me drink that E&J, probably the only gripe I got with him. Like he should have had me on some better liquor. I wanted better for him. But yeah, 16, 17, me putting a little E&J in my ginger ale, getting my first drink off him. My uncle taught me about not complaining. Like, he had a lot of shit going on with him. And I honestly don't think I've ever heard him complain. Now, clearly, this is one that I did not take heed to, because all I do is bitch. All I do is bitch and moan. But he had, like, a lot of health issues, and he would always, always downplay him. And the reason I'm saying all this to you right now is because I never had a chance to say it to him. And I never will now. And that's something that I've got to live with. You know, I'd get a call from usually my mother saying he'd be in the hospital, and I'd always call and check on him. He'd say he was fine, like right before like major procedures. And he's telling me he's fine. He's asking me about me. He's trying to get me off the phone. Like, don't worry about me. That was just him. And so he'd say he's fine. He's telling me not to worry. He'd always beat it. So this time I didn't think much of it. I didn't call to check on him, and I never talked to him again, and I never will. So again, I'm saying this because in lieu of me saying those things to him, I'm going to try to, you know, kind of be the changes that he made in my life, kind of show those impacts to others. I'm going to try to, you know, reach out to his kids more. You know, I'm going to try to be the things that he showed me how to be. And it's not going to take away from me calling him one last time, but it's the best I got. So I received a lot of kind words and thoughts and prayers over the past couple weeks. I greatly appreciate them. If you're a praying person, please keep his family, like his close family. You know, I'm hurting right now. I'll be fine, but please pray for his wife. Pray for his kids. He's got three kids, one about to graduate high school. He's got a grandson that, you know, just thought the world of him. So please, please, please keep them in your prayers if you're a praying person. It's very cliche to say, you know, tell your folks you love them. You know that. You should already be telling your folks you love them. But I will say, in this era, it's never been easier. It's never been easier. You don't have to write your grandmother a letter to let her know you're thinking about it. You can give her, some people, you could text your grandparents. Now, my grandparents are not, they have cell phones, but they're not text capable, I don't think. But a quick call to them, a quick text to aunts, uncles, anybody, just let them know you're thinking about them. If you hear a song, you know what I'm saying, you knew they liked, just let them know you're thinking about them. We don't really have an excuse there. We can text them. You can reach out to them on Facebook or whatever. Like, family follows you on Twitter. Some family can follow you on Twitter. But yeah, reach out to your folks, man. I shouldn't have to say that. And it goes for me too. I need to do better at that. And I will do better at that. And I want you to take that upon yourself to do better about that as well. All right. Now for a less morbid portion of the show, I do want to talk some NBA for a minute. The draft lottery was last night, and the Sixers got the top pick, and Sam Hinkie has got to be furious. Like, he stepped down right before they got the top pick. Even if it's no, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, LeBron James, super duper star in this draft, still, he did all that shit, never got the top pick, and the year he leaves, like 2 months later, they get the top pick, he got to be sick. But I think the Sixers go Ingram. I think they'll go Brandon Ingram. I think Ben Simmons is going to project to play the four in the way the NBA is going. And I think they've already got way too many bigs. Like, they've got, you know, Okafor right now, Noel, Embiid if he can get healthy, Dario Saric if he comes back, and Simmons would be another one. Four, maybe can play some three. And I think Ingram, I think he has a higher upside than Simmons for one. And two, he fits a need. So I think the Sixers will go with Brandon Ingram there. Now, number two, the Lakers. Just understand this. Ben Simmons, and I'll talk a little bit about this later, Ben Simmons has Finesser of the Year in the bag. If he did all this, dropped out of school early, he said fuck class, he didn't go to the combine, he didn't go to the draft lottery, he'd been sitting courtside at NBA games since like midterms. He does all this and still gets to live in Los Angeles? Finesser of the Year. We don't even need to make it to June. He's got it in the bag. So I think the Lakers will go with Simmons there. Celtics get the third pick. Now, they miss out on the top two, but they're still in a great spot. I would still be calling everybody with this pick. Everybody. Like, we keep hearing about the Celtics trading for a star. And this summer between, you know, DeMarcus Cousins might be available. Jimmy Butler might be available. Depending on what happens in the finals, Kyrie or Kevin Love might be available. I think they should be trying to turn this number three into a star. Like, worst comes to worst, they draft, you know, another undersized guard and keep tradition. But yeah, I would be on the phones trying to get DeMarcus Cousins, Jimmy Butler, somebody, anybody with that third pick. Now, Skipper, I'm not going to do the whole lottery. Just my, like, my Wolves are at five, and I really feel like we can't lose. We can't lose. There's six or seven guys in the draft that could help. And I would like Buddy Hield or Jamal Murray, but even then, Bender, the foreign kid, you could take Young Sabonis. You could even go with Scal. It'd be a little high for him, but I do think he would, you know, provide some much-needed shooting for that team. So we really can't lose. We really can't lose. I said after Towns got drafted, Wolves going to be in the finals within 5 years. That was year one. I still stand, but I might need to move it up, move the deadline up a little bit. But for now, I'll stand by that. Wolves will be in the finals within 4 years. Round out the rest of the lottery. My dude Scal is going top 10. Remember that. Tyler Ulis is going in the lottery. Remember those things. And we've got a full first round mock draft coming soon. Not sure when, but I am working with a couple people. We're going to get a full first round mock draft coming soon. So more details when I get those. Now, as far as the playoffs going on now, I've already went on the record with I've got Cleveland winning 4-0. It's going to be a sweep of Toronto. And we saw that in game one. Toronto didn't have a single thing for Cleveland. But my question is, like, if you're a Toronto fan, is this a successful season? Like, you got to the Eastern Conference Finals only to be, like, walloped. Only to be, like they're going to get beat. They're going to get beat bad. So DeMar DeRozan can opt out, and rightfully so. He'll do that and get a raise. Do you bring him back? Like, I don't particularly like his – I don't like his game at all. But he is an all-star. He's like 26, 27, so he's about to hit his prime. And I would hate to lose an asset like that for nothing. So as much as I don't like his game, I think I would re-sign him just because I wouldn't want to lose an asset like that for nothing. They've also got a top 10 pick. They can add to the mix. So if you can get Damari Carroll healthy, add a number 9 pick, maybe a guy that with less upside that can help right away, and hope that Cleveland gets hurt next postseason like they did last postseason, maybe you just run it back and hope for the best. I could also see letting DeRozan walk. You could add a wing at 9, give Norman Powell some more looks, and they'd still be a playoff team. You know, like I'd say let DeRozan walk if, you know, him leaving was the difference between this being a playoff team and a lottery team. I'd be fine with that. But they'd still have Lowry, they'd still have Valanciunas, and they'd still be in the East. So they'd still be a playoff team, if not a championship contender. So that's why I would bring back DeRozan. I wouldn't like it, though. I wouldn't like it one bit. And I think, I said it yesterday, I think that's where Scal ends up going. Number 9 pick to Toronto for some shooting. Now, let me say this. If Drake, the ambassador for the Raptors and Toronto, if he does not have Party Next Door and Kehlani like right behind the Cavs bench or right beside the scorers table for game 3 and 4 in Toronto, he's fraudulent. He should be treated as such. You can't mess that. If he's got to sit up in the booth or not even go to the game, he's got to make sure P&D and Kehlani have seats, you know, where Kyrie Irving can see them. That's the least he can do, you know, if he really cares about the Raptors having a shot. So it's something I thought of. I don't know if it could work, so don't throw facts at me here. But I imagine if the Raptors let DeRozan walk and made a couple moves, like a couple minor moves, got rid of some guys, they probably have a little cap space, especially with the cap going up. Like, why wouldn't they throw that at Durant? You know, like, I feel like it's worth a shot. Like, the East is weak as hell, and he would be stepping onto a number 2 seeded team. And depending on the cap works, I know you can go over the cap to re-sign your own guys. They might be able to sign Durant, then bring DeRozan back if they're willing to, you know, pay the luxury tax or whatever. Now, Toronto's cold as fuck, so it'd be a no for me. But I hear it's a great city outside of that. And again, he'd be going to a weaker conference, stepping right in on a contender. I don't know, maybe even do a sign and trade for DeRozan or that pick so KD can get all his years and all his money. I'm sure it'll never happen. It's just something I thought about. Now, moving on to the West, on Twitter, and on my man Thika's podcast, The Roguish Gent, which I had retweeted, link to that. Go check that out. We talk about a number of things, but I gave my prediction on there. I've got Golden State in 5. I wanted to switch it to 6, but I stuck with 5. And my main reason for Golden State in 5 was that most of the arguments for Oklahoma City was that people were saying, you know, like they've got two top five, top seven guys that can take over anytime. Okay. Like, they've had those guys for years, and it hasn't worked. And it damn sure hasn't worked against a 73-win team because they haven't seen one. And it just seems strange to pick that formula to work now against the best regular season team of all time. Now, game one was a doozy because Oklahoma City did not play well at all. They didn't play well at all, and they still won. Like, KD shot 10 for 30. Russ shot 7 for 21. Steph had 26. Klay 25. Draymond, like, 23. And the game was in Oakland, and Oklahoma City still won. That's big. So I will stick with my prediction just for the sake of sticking with it. Who really cares? But fuck it. Like, I'm praying for seven games. I would like seven games of this. Like, KD and Russ won't shoot that badly again. But Golden State also won't go that cold in the fourth quarter again. So it should be a great series. One thing I'm looking for, Oklahoma City going big was very interesting. Like, you're not matching Golden State's, you know, the lineup of death with Draymond at center. So your best bet is to kind of go bigger and slow things down like Cleveland did last year. And not that it's a, you know what I'm saying, like this Eureka game plan idea that Billy Donovan had. But I feel like very few teams have the tools for it. And Oklahoma City is one of those teams because they can go with any two of Adams, Ibaka, and Cantor. Since Adams, Cantor playing together hasn't been terrible. Your other two of those are Russ and KD. And then for your fifth guy, you just hope Waiters or Andre Roberson isn't terrible. So I'm hoping for I think we're going to get a great, great series there. All right, moving on. We have had some new music drop since the last time I spoke to you one-on-one in this space. So I will go over a couple of those. First one is Chance the Rapper, Coloring Book. And let me just say, the music, it's just too positive for me, man. I can't get jiggy with that shit, man. It's too positive for me. And I get it. I get that it's a good vibe. I get that he's a good kid. I get the talent. He's certainly talented. I get that he's having fun. It's just not for me. It's not for me. It's not my comfort zone. And I understand that a lot of how you hear music is, you know what I'm saying, like, I would say environment. Like, where you are physically when you hear it. You know, if you hear it, you had a cookout or something, having a good time, it's going to resonate a little bit differently than the first time you hear it is in your own home and listen to it on headphones. I understand that where you're at, I think mentally affects how you hear music. Like, it's the same way I can't knock anybody for not liking 808s and Heartbreaks. I think you got to be in a certain place to enjoy 808s. And I was in that place. I'm still in that place. I still enjoy 808s and Heartbreaks. And maybe this is the same. And I'm just not in that positive, healthy thinking frame of mind to enjoy this. Like, I can't see shit crashing down around me and listen to this peace and blessings are on the way shit. And it's not hatred. It's just, this is not for me. It's not for me. It's in one ear and out the other. Like, I'm getting to a point where as I'm listening to music, I already know I'm not going to listen to it again. And as I was listening to Coloring Book, like, I stayed for the, you know, Yachty was on there. Yachty was great. The song with Future was cool. But even as I'm listening to it, you know what I'm saying, I'm tapping my toes and all the while knowing I'll never hear any of this ever again. So it's not bad. It's just not for me. And that's fine, too. Next one is Drake and Views. I know this is kind of old. I tweeted about it, but I realized I hadn't said it in the space. So I'll be brief here. This is not a good album. This is not a good album. In fact, I think it's Drake's worst album. But there's good shit on here. I think the first half, the first 10 songs are awful. I think they're awful. I like Hype and I like Feel No Ways, and the other 8 can go. Like the intro, Keep the Family Close, whatever it's called, maybe the worst Drake song I've ever heard. And the song 9 makes me visibly upset. Now the second half of the album is much, much better. Like, you've got Controller starts it off, and of course the version with Pop Can is the only one we acknowledge. One Dance is cool. Grammys is cool. Pop Style. Summer's Over. Summer's Over Interludes put the best song on the tape. Views. Song Views. All very good. So there's good stuff on here, but there's way too much bad stuff. Way too much bad stuff. I like what I just list, 7-8 songs out of 20. I mean, that's good if you playing baseball, but we're not, because baseball trash. So that was not really for me either. But I saw, you know, like even still, I saw that of the top 20 rap songs, I think it was on Apple Music, like the Apple Music chart, 19 were from this album. And the 21st song was Hotline Bling. So he's clearly a force. Drake is clearly a force. He's not going anywhere. And I think a lot of his success is timing. I think Drake has kind of mastered or is mastering the art of timing. There's nothing else really dropping right now. And I remember I'd read an article a few years ago about how Jay-Z's albums were released strategically too. So I think that's part of Drake's success. I think a lot of it is that he's willing to be the butt of the jokes. Like going on SNL and the dancing, the Hotline Bling videos, the memes. Like he dropped that Views cover knowing he'd be mean. He knew it. That's just marketing. People put that shit on everything. People have never heard a Drake album. Mark Stoops, the coach of Kentucky football, did a cover of that, of Drake sitting on top of Kentucky's football stadium. Mark Stoops, I would be willing to bet he could name two Drake songs, but that's fine. And Drake knows that's fine. He knows it'll keep his name in the spotlight. He's playing a long con game, and I can respect that even if I'm not really fucking with this album. All right, next, and the last project that I wanted to talk about, Lemonade by Beyonce. I'm on board. I'm part of the Hive now. And if I'm not, members of the Hive, please let me know how I can apply. Like, I get it now. I watched the, movie or the, short film, whatever you want to call it, that went with Lemonade on HBO, and I get it. I get it. Like, I've never been a Beyonce hater. I've always respected the talent. I've always respected the hard work, but I understood that I wasn't her target audience, and that's fine too. I had never listened to a full album of hers, only bits and pieces, what you'd hear on the radio or the singles or what you hear in other people's cars. And I always wondered why the Hive went as strong as they do. And I get it now. Like the visual brought it together for me. And I imagine it's what's been in the music. I just never listened to the music. So I would have got it earlier if I listened to the music. I just wasn't listening to the music. And what I heard, what I saw is that, Your Black is Beautiful. And you see it in the video. And, in a portion of the video, the late great, our brother Malcolm X said it best. The most disrespected person in America is the Black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the Black woman. The most neglected person in America is the Black woman. And he's spot on there, 3 for 3. So in this visual, you see Black women being great. And Black women really are like the dopest people on the planet. I don't even know what's a close second. Like Black men, we're pretty cool, but Black women, I think they've got it by far. And I saw that. I mean, I see it every day, but I saw that like as recently as when my uncle passed. Like we're gathered around to say our last goodbyes before they pull the plug, and it's all the men in the room trying to be strong for the women. And once he was gone, it just like a fucking light switch. It flipped. Like my grandmother, who just lost her son. I remember her checking on everybody else in the room. My aunt, his widow, is asking other people, have they ate that day? My mother, has been going back and forth, keeping people there, not there in the loop. And this is after her, after she just lost her baby brother. And it's just everyday work for them. It's remarkable. They're remarkable. And so the visual, with the audio, you hear, the most disrespected person in America is the Black woman. Or as a Black woman. And you see, throughout that video, you see Beyonce and Serena, two of the best ever at their craft, just chilling, having fun. So you respect that. And you hear that the most unprotected person in America is the Black woman. So you see Beyonce walking with her bat and the ladies in formation, and you respect that. That's their protection. It's like what I saw is like they feel like they got to be their protection. Like if they don't protect themselves, who will? And that's sad, but it's true. And then you hear Malcolm say the most neglected person in America is the Black woman. And in this video, that Beyonce put together, you see all kinds of Black women. You see tall and short and big and little and light and dark and curly hair and straight hair, natural and weave, young and old, like whatever. You see it all, and you see how beautiful it all is. And for a Black woman, Beyonce's target audience, that has to be great to see. And to hear, knowing that just about anywhere else you look, just about anywhere else you listen, you getting shitted on. And so as a black girl, like as a little black girl, I imagine you can look to that and always know that you have, you know, one person in Beyonce that's going to show you and is going to tell you how dope your black is. And it's a big reason that I'd wanted Cam Newton to win the Super Bowl. Like, so all the little black boys would always have that to point to when they were doing something unorthodox or dancing after a big play, whatever. They would always have Cam to point to, and they can point to him now. You know, he made it out of Atlanta. He, you know, reigning MVP. He's doing very well for himself. But folks will always say, you know, well, what has he won? What has he won? That's the biggest reason I wanted Cam to win the Super Bowl. So I feel like Beyonce is that for black girls and black women. I think this is just my my man take on all of this, but that's how I see it, and I get it. I'm on board. I'm with the Hive. I'm trying to get in the Hive. If I'm not, and you in the Hive listening to this, let me know how I can be down. I would love to submit my application for membership. All right, now on to a couple of questions. As always, thanks so much for the questions. First one is, name a few candidates for 2016 Finesse of the Year. Ben Simmons, who I mentioned earlier, I feel like he's the front runner, like far and away. Again, he pretty much said, fuck school, dropped out after a great year, like a great basketball year, not like a great freshman year. I'm sure the freshman at LSU probably taking finals right now. He's probably like laid up on the beach right now, getting drunk out of his mind. So he didn't care about grades, you know, while his teammates and should have taken finals. He's sitting courtside, didn't go to the combine, and he still might end up in L.A. I'm a fan. Needless to say, I'm a fan. Luke Walton is another great candidate for Finesse of the Year. Like, he was the assistant coach for a 67-win team last year that won the championship. His boss got a bad back. So while his boss had this fucking bacchiotomy surgery, he got to coach a great team that was already motivated to a great record. And then he stepped back into his assistant role. So he's probably, I'm still rolling with Golden State. I think they're going to win again. He's probably going to go to L.A. to coach the Lakers with two rings and $25 million guaranteed in his pocket. That's Finesse of the Year candidacy, if I've ever heard it. And the third one, I can say Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is about to pretty much just finesse being like an old white man right into presidency. Like, and even if he doesn't, he's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's, I feel like that's just going to unlock like some book deals or speaking tour money that even he wasn't getting before. And that's like worst case scenario. Like, best case is he became president by being like the racist, misogynist, xenophobe that he always is. You know, he's a piece of shit and he's true to it. So I can respect the finesse, even if it's fucked Donald Trump. So I feel like those three. But yeah, Ben Simmons, who is not a white man, might just finesse of the year. And I'm rooting for him. Next question is, you mentioned that Drake's new album was too sad even for you. What's your favorite sad music to listen to when you're really trying to destroy what's left of your soul? First off, I didn't say all that. I said it was sad, but it's not good sad stuff. Like, if you want Drake sad stuff, he's got way better sad stuff than the shit that was on Views. So mine was mostly like So Far Gone, some Take Care, some 808s, some Gil Scott Heron, Martha by Tom Waits is just a brutal song. We've Got Tonight by Bob Seger, it's a sad song. Brick by Ben Folds 5, maybe the saddest song I've ever heard. So it's like, it's really some songs that are sad as fuck. I used to have a whole playlist, but I deleted it. I was like, I'm going to it too often. I'm going to it way too often. But that's some of the stuff I had on there. Yeah, if you want sad Drake, you need like Sooner Than Later, You Don't Need No One Else, So Far Gone Drake, Take Care, 808. That's really all you need. You can sprinkle in the rest of what I mentioned there, but those three projects right there will take you wherever you're trying to get. All right, next question is, somebody said, in the past week, I've had the opportunity to see Future, Lil Yachty, and Young Thug perform live, and each exceeded my expectations by quite a bit. So my question for you is, who have you seen perform that was better than you thought they'd be? Conversely, who have you seen that you thought would be good but ultimately disappointed you? First off, Yachty. Like, he opened up for the Migos, and I literally had no idea who he was, and I went from, like, who is this, like, Raggedy Ann head-ass nigga to, like, rocking out to one night. So Yachty is definitely number one. Drake, I saw Drake and Wayne when they came to Atlanta, and Drake was a lot better live than I thought. So Drake is up there. I saw T.I. a long time, like, I think this was either right before or right after trap music dropped. He was great. He put on a great show live. So those three come to mind. Worse than I expected, Jay-Z. Jay-Z by far. Like, he was late. This nigga was like an hour and a half late. He didn't have any openers. He stopped to change clothes every 30 minutes. Like you're not dancing while you're rapping. You're just rapping. What are you tired from? That I understand he's 82 years old. So, and the sound quality was terrible at that show. So that's maybe the worst show I've been to, but I don't really go to a lot of concerts, so I have a limited frame of reference there. Next question is, like I said, with Views out getting questionable reviews, I'm wondering if Drake was married or in a committed relationship, would he have anything to rap about? Would he still be rapping about exes? I think he would. Like, the same way Kanye is married and the whole life of Pablo is him rapping about fucking models and how miserable he is now that he's married. I think Drake would do the same. Like, Drake, you know, it would be like the same. I found this great woman, but can I trust her? Does she only want me for my money? What will Party Next Door think? What about her past? If I turn the 9 back upside down, is it a 6? Or is it just an upside down 9? Like, the same type of shit like that. I don't think he really change your stripes there. So, yeah, I think he'd be rapping about the same shit. All right, next question is, you may have already weighed in, but I'm wondering who makes your top 5 of NBA players who can rap. I was perusing Dame Lillard's Instagram and was reminded that he's a part-time rapper and a pretty good one at that. He's got pretty strong real hip-hop sensibilities, which disqualify him to many, but resonate with me as someone who listens to songs from Illmatic every day. Well, first, condolences for listening to songs from Illmatic every day. I would say Shaq. Shaq got to be number one. Like, Shaq has a gold album. Shaq has a platinum album. Shaq has songs with the Notorious B.I.G., Ice Cube, and Nate Dogg. Shaq held his own on a song with Biggie. You Can't Stop the Rain still gets plays. So I feel like Shaq is number one comfortably. Number two, Allen Iverson. Just off the strength of 40 bars alone, that still gets play too. So AI is number two. Number three, the franchise, Steve Francis. Finer Things is fire. And of course, I have to go off, you know, one or two songs of these guys, because who the fuck is listening to an entire Steve Francis mixtape? Not me. That's who. So Steve Francis, number three. Ron Artest, number four. Like, if you remember, I think it was a couple years ago, that champion song on NBA 2K, whatever year it was, kind of fire. And I got Lillard five, because Lillard's nice. Lillard can rap. There's definitely the real hip-hop sensibilities. There's definitely some lyrical miracle, you know, glow about him. But I understand that he probably can't really rap the way he wants to, you know, to maintain the image that he's built for himself and continually building. So I get that. But he still seems like he would, like, if you were talking to Damian Lillard, he seemed like he would just hit you with it. Well, maybe you just don't understand J. Cole, bro. That just seems like something that Damian Lillard would say. So those are my top five: Shaq, AI, Stevie Franchise, Ron Artest, and Damian Lillard. And the last question of the day: I have an issue, and I'm hoping you could discuss on the podcast or maybe on the timeline. This is tough for me to type. I'm a black man without a mustache. In my early 20s, I just can't grow any facial hair, really. Some weak-ass whiskers on my chin, a few strays on the other couple parts of my face. What am I going to do if I hit my 30s without a mustache? Who's going to trust me? I'm not Obama. I'm not on TV, so I'm really starting to panic. Any advice or even answers why the never trust a black man without a mustache stereotype even exists? Would it be different today if MLK was clean shaven? I got to use the old email from middle school for this email due to shame. That's a valid concern, man. That's a very valid concern. Like, it's something I mentioned the other day. Like, I'm concerned as I get older. I'm already older. Like, my hairline's trash. I can't grow a full beard, and I'm in terrible shape, but, Skip Bayless, I can grow a mustache, so I've got that in my corner, and I was really trying to think, like, the only niggas I know without mustaches that really had some country, you know, hadn't been gotten out of the paint yet are Jay-Z, Cam Newton, and Jadakiss. Those are the only three I could come up with. So I think the moral here is you got to be great at whatever it is you do. I feel like you got to be in like reasonable shape. Like you don't want to be 35 with a pot belly and no mustache. No, like zero mustache. If MLK was clean shaven, I don't think you'd know his name today, honestly. I really don't. Like the mustache that gave him credibility, he'd just be Martin King, accountant. You know what I'm saying? If he was clean shaven. And I tell you right now, man, maybe I contribute to this stereotype because I don't trust a nigga with no mustache either. Like a nigga with no mustache is a nigga that will unplug your phone while it's a 17 to plug his up while it's a 86. A nigga with no mustache is a nigga that will ask you where all the hoes at. And then when the hoes get there, he will stay on his phone all night. A nigga with no mustache is someone that will ignore your head nod in passing. So I understand your concern, you know, as a black man. So I'm telling you, you just got to get in like peak physical condition and master whatever craft it is that you've chosen. Because, boy, you fighting an uphill battle, man. You really fighting an uphill battle. Like, as I think about it now, I'm amazed Cam even won the MVP without a mustache. Like, if I had a vote, I probably would have gave my first place vote, but I would have gave my second and third place, you know what I'm saying, to somebody with a mustache, somebody with some damn sense to grow a mustache. So you got your work cut out for you, man. I'm hoping the best for you. Jay-Z, Cam Newton, Jadakiss, those are things to aspire to. So it's not game over, but you definitely fighting an uphill battle. All right, and with that said, that brings show number 78 to a conclusion. As always, guys, I want to thank you so much for rocking with me these first 78 shows. You know where to find me by now. If you go to SoundCloud, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, search for Trill Withers, the show will come up. Do me a favor, subscribe there so that the show will come to you every week. Got the email address, that's trillwitherspodcast@gmail.com. Got the website, lookingupfromthefloor.wordpress.com. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Black Quarterback X shirts are available for sale starting by the time you hear this up until June 7th. June 7th will be the last day to place an order. I will have those links on the website for you to view the shirts and hopefully purchase. I appreciate your consideration there. As always, I'm thankful for your support and stay righteous.